Plato. Welcome to this special podcast of Science Friday from sciencefriday.com. For the rest of the hour, we're going to talk about another issue that maybe you heard first on Earth Day 35 years ago. When was the first time you heard paper or plastic? Yeah, it goes back pretty far, doesn't it? And my next guest has an answer that you never got, or maybe you never gave them. How about neither? Packaging, he argues, wastes natural resources. Of course, it takes energy to create it. It takes up a lot of room in the landfills. Remember, that stuff is all getting thrown away when we're finished using it. How can we learn to do with less or make better use out of what we do create? How can we recycle more of the packaging that we generate every day? It's interesting. We'll get into this a little bit about how much of these recyclables never get recycled. Here to talk about it with me is Dan Inhofe. He is founder and president of Watershed Media, a publishing house in Heidsburg, California. He's also author of Paper or Plastic, Searching for Solutions to an Overpackaged World. He joins us today from his office. Thanks for being with us, Mr. Inhofe.
Thanks for having me.
How much of the stuff that we recycle gets recycled?
How much of that we recycle?
Let's say all those bottles that we have, you know, we all drinking those plastic soda bottles. Do they all really wind up getting recycled, or the aluminum cans, are they going back?
In the case of plastic bottles, hardly anything gets recycled. About 10% of our plastic gets recycled. So it's a real myth that just because you put it in your recycling bin and it has a recycling symbol on it, that it's actually ever going to come back as a product on the shelf. In the case of something like paper or cardboard, about 70% of our cardboard gets recycled. The irony is that a lot of it gets baled and shipped overseas, where material like cardboard is incredibly valuable. And then about half of our aluminum gets recycled. But one thing people ought to remember is if they throw that aluminum can out, it will take about 100 or 200 or even 400 years to decompose. But if it gets back into a recycling loop, it returns to the shelf with a product in it in about 3 months at a great savings of resources and energy and other impacts.
So why do so few of those plastic bottles ever make it back?
Well, there's just they're not really designed to be recycled in the first place. It costs a lot to bale and ship these things around. And then finally, I think what we've heard from the last few speakers on your show is basically our economic systems are completely out of balance with our realities on ecosystems, and raw materials are just too cheap. Mm. And there are not enough disincentives for pollution and real heavy impacts on ecosystems. So really, we have an economy that's based on acceptable levels of waste, mm-hmm. and packaging is just a deep part of that.
Mm-hmm. So I asked the question at the beginning of the segment, and it is the title of your book, Paper or Plastic. What is your answer?
Well, it's definitely neither. I think paper or plastic, it really just serves something in us, in our humanity, that we just want the easy answer, especially now. I mean, really, this whole single portion packaging economy that we have, it's just a post-World War II construct. Hmm. We used to have completely different ways of packaging and distributing goods, and now we get exactly what we want when we want it. And we very few of us cook. I think less than one in two meals is cooked in the home anymore, and even that comes in some kind of processed container. And so what we want is, hey, just tell me the right answer so that I can go on, you know, with my shopping experience and feel good about it. And in fact, really, getting rid of plastic bags and paper bags altogether and having a stash of cloth bags, which will last, they could probably be heirlooms for your kids, is a really easy way in your day to just tick that one off your list. something that we definitely don't need, and there's a way better way of getting our things from where we're buying them to our homes.
You know, I'm having a deja vu all over again here because these cloth bags were certainly a staple of what to do, you know, during that first Earth Day 35 years ago. And now we've come full circle, you know, I guess another generation or two of people who've never, you know, done any of those things.
You know, there are whole countries right now that are trying to eliminate plastic bags. I heard that Wangari Maathai, who won the Nobel Prize just this year for her work on the environment in Kenya, has proposed that plastic bags be eliminated or made illegal in that country. The main reason being that they blow around and they become small breeding grounds for mosquitoes, which transfer malaria.
Mm-hmm. Debbie in Wapello, Iowa. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi. I just wanted to, you know, when you made the comment about cloth bags, that's what I was calling in. I'm 49 years old, and I've been using cloth bags for grocery shopping and any shopping for over 10 years. And in that whole 10 years, I've only run into about two or three other people that have been using cloth bags too. But that's my way of contributing, you know, to the environment.
I'll let you go with your kid, but do you get strange looks at the supermarket with your bag?
Well, a lot of the clerks automatically put my things in the plastic until I remind them that the cloth bags are sitting there for to be used, and then, you know, they're glad to do it, but it's not an automatic thing.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for taking time to share that with us. Interesting.
Thank you.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. So there are still some people, Dan, who are, I guess, you know, still 60s conscious and doing this sort of thing.
You know, it's a mystery to me why we're still arguing about this particular question. You know,
I
can say is, you know, when are we going to dig deep enough to really act upon a lot of the hard scientific information that we just heard earlier in the show? Another thing that somebody can do that's really simple, we use about 300 plus million disposable hot and cold drinking cups every day in the United States. So that adds up to over 120 billion per year.
You mean those styrofoam, those white styrofoam cups?
Well, 75% of them are made of paper. Unfortunately, they're usually coated with a polyethylene so that, you know, they can hold a hot drink and they meet the FDA requirements, but they are non-recyclable. So we're just throwing away about 300 million cups a day. And if you just stay in the place where you got that coffee or that tea or that, you know, drink, whatever, and they have the ability to use a reusable cup, you save almost 100% of all the air and soil and water and resource impacts from doing that.
You know, but years ago, we had this environmental consciousness, you know. We were very conscious about conservation, about recycling. President Carter, when we had the oil crisis, said that conservation was equivalent, the moral equivalent of war. We don't have. It seems we've lost that whole feeling about those things.
One thing that packaging does is it increases the distance between where we purchase something from, where it was made, and then who consumed it. And we're not a manufacturing nation anymore. I mean, there's very little that we manufacture, and so we consume packages, and this is how we relate to the manufactured and the produced world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of our problem, is that we've exported all of the things that sustain us to other countries. Mm-hmm. Our food is produced thousands of miles away, and it comes to us fresh in, these packages.
Well, you know, Earth Day used to be about empowering people to do something on their own for the environment. Is there a solution to, let's say, you know, years ago we never had, you know, coffee was 10 cents a cup, and we didn't have all these mega coffee shops around with, you know, $3 coffees in them. And could a big company, and I'll just mention Starbucks because it comes to mind, could a company like that do something about the paper cups it gives out on its own to make it more recyclable and possibly save, you know, some of that litter?
I think that they're seriously trying to figure it out. For a lot of reasons. First of all, these cost money, and I think that a lot of big companies, you know, once they're empowered with the facts, want to do the right thing, but they bump up against a lot of really difficult systemic factors.
I got an idea. What about if you bring your own coffee mug, you save 25 cents on a cup?
Absolutely. That's the very minimum that almost any coffee shop should be able to do, and many who are already thinking about this do that.
Bring your own mug. You know, bring your car mug, and we'll fill it up, and we'll give you a break on the price of the coffee.
And perhaps make that cup that much more expensive.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if whole communities got together and said, hey, we want to have a zero-waste community for any number of reasons, because it's really costly, because no one wants to live near a landfill, because all kinds of things, then you start to get to these much, much higher levels of incentives. But certainly everybody should carry a mug, and they should get some kind of value for it. In San Francisco right now, they're considering a 17-cent bag tax on paper or plastic bags throughout the city as a way to cut back on litter and costs of cleanup. And so that's something I think, you know, countries have already done that. Ireland has already done that.
Well, let's make a coffee cup tax.
Exactly.
Yeah. What can we do about all these peanuts we keep getting, these plastic peanuts we keep getting in packages?
You know, that's just a symbol, too, of the complete disconnection between the materials that we use to package stuff and the stuff that they package. You know, the styrofoam peanuts are going to last forever, you know, as long as the Statue of David. And they're really difficult to collect and do stuff with. I mean, and then the things that they package might only have use for us for a very, very short period of time. So, A, we have to get that disconnection changed. You know, the materials have to have a much shorter shelf life. Or be much easier to reuse. You can take them to your local freight store, like your UPS store. I think a lot of people will take that protective shock-absorbing packaging back and reuse it. You know, but it would sure be nice if you didn't have that in the middle of your day, you know, this huge box of peanuts with this tiny little thing inside of it.
Marshall from Sunnyvale. Hi, Marshall.
Hi there. I just wanted to make a comment that in the order of kind of best to worst, in my opinion, there's reducing consumption, best, reusing objects in your life, recycling, and then worst, throwing away. So recycling is just above, in this listener's opinion, throwing something away. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of things that they recycle are downcycled, meaning especially paper and cardboard, they'll have a couple lifetimes going through the system, and then they have to be thrown away. So I think I read a book called Cradle to Cradle, and they talk about reimagining materials so that they can be infinitely recycled. So you only have inputs of energy. You don't have more and more subtraction from our natural resources. Anyway, that was my comment, and I'll take my answers off the air. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, really. I mean, I think it's questionable whether it's achievable, but how do we create these loops of materials that are biological on the one hand, they're safe, and they could eventually be composted and then used to create more biological materials. And then, on the other hand, industrial materials such as metals and perhaps some fossil fuel-based plastics and things that are safe in all ecosystems and habitats, and then they can be reused and turned back in, upgraded, perhaps using shock-absorbing materials to make building materials or clothing or something like that, just raising up their value instead of just basing it all on one-way disposable waste. It's going to take a concerted effort throughout society.
Yeah, it's going to take some leadership. Let's go to Bob in Reno. Hi, Bob.
Oh, hello. I just wanted to comment that my big gripe about plastic bags is that you mentioned earlier that they blow. Reno is a pretty high wind area, and in the hills around here, the plastic bags get stuck in the brush really bad, and they just hang there because they can't get let go.
Very pretty, isn't it?
Yeah, so the paper is better that way, I guess, and that it's heavier, and it doesn't snag. But anyway, that's my big gripe about plastic bags.
Okay, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think one of the things that people really need to realize, however, is by the time you choose to either have it recycled or disposed of in a landfill or incinerated, that's about 1% of all the impacts that go into a package. It's the way upstream impact in the forests, in the mines, in the places where energy is created, in our air, in our water, through transportation. That's where the big damage is done. So finding ways to mitigate that and eliminate it altogether, I mean, that's really the answer. How do we find new ways to both make packages, make them last,
right,
or not use them at all?
Well, there are companies that do respond to pressure. Remember years ago when, was it McDonald's, had those clamshell, plastic clamshells, and they got rid of them because people just said, this is kind of nutty?
Yeah. Well, you know, we can put a huge amount of pressure. I think we're a very complacent society, and 70% of the economy is consumer-driven, so people can vote with their pocketbooks for people that they want to support, and they can not support people who are over-packaging. But one of the things that you can definitely do in your life is to live as a villager in terms of food and beverages. And so the more you go for regional and local alternatives that are minimally packaged, right there you can do quite a bit. And another thing you can do is trust your own, know about your own water system and drink your own water rather than drinking one out of every three gulps of water out of a plastic bottle that really is not going anywhere else but the landfill.
Dan Imhoff, thanks for taking time to be with us.
Thanks for having me. Happy Earth Day.
Thank you. Dan Imhoff is the founder and president of Watershed Media, and he is the author of Paper or Plastic? Searching for Solutions to an Overpackaged World.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit sciencefriday.com for more information on this topic and every topic we talk about on Science Friday. See you next time. I'm Ira Flatow.